And we're back with another installation of the Digital Digest by AOS. This is your girl, Ace. I'm here with Nika, our resident expert when it comes to business, taxes, and finance. So as we all know, the government was reopened last week for 3 weeks. So Nika has been updated and putting together her newest installation for her WordPress blog, where she's talking about changes for 2019. So Nika, you want to go ahead and take it away?
Yeah, so in 2019, some amazing discoveries. They did some really positive changes, in my opinion, because I am a tax preparer who prepares for the business aspect more so than the personal, trying to get people to use business to maximize their tax refunds. One of the most significant changes that I've seen ever in my 25 years of doing taxes is they doubled the deductions, standard deductions for the different filing status. So married filing joint is now, you get, it used to be $12,500 and now it's $24,000 is the standard deduction. Single people used to be $6,200, it is now $12,000. And the head of household, where a majority of people fall, was at $9,500, now it's $18,000. How that affects us is, when I do prepare taxes, if people are beneath the standard deduction, so last year, for instance, a person who made, who had a few children, their standard deduction as head of household was $9,500, my job as a tax preparer is to get into the itemized deduction section, where I can help them to get above that $9,500 so that they can now obtain a refund. And I would use that by doing charitable donations, your miscellaneous expenses, miscellaneous deductions. That particular change has made it so that it's very hard to get above that $18,000 now. Wow. So they basically gave you all of the miscellaneous work expenses, all of your thousands of dollars in donations to Salvation Army, and they just threw it all in.
You're not going to get in that bracket anyway, but you would still have to reach to get into that $18,000
yeah,
bracket.
Yeah, so now you don't have to do it anymore. There are some people who are going to go above that because it's a head of household person that owns a house, for instance, and is paying a mortgage. Their mortgage interest is going to be more than that, maybe, or, you know, $10,000, $12,000. So they're going to get above the $18,000. But the average person who doesn't own a home, they're going to, most people, I think, and I'm guessing, but I know I'm a person who files itemized deductions for everyone. Most people don't. So there are going to be more people who won't be able to take advantage of these itemized deductions because they doubled the number. And my guess is, you know, it cut down on the paperwork. It really did for them, for the IRS, because, you know, with my clients, I do 300 clients a year, and I'm sending in itemized deductions on all 300 and moving everybody up. So there's a lot of people who aren't going to be able to take advantage of it.
So if you can't take advantage of it, but you fall in that tax bracket, you don't get that the deductions that you claim unless you go over that set amount of $18,000 for a head of household?
Yeah, you're not, there's no other, yeah. And so if you have $5,000 in medical expenses, it doesn't matter anymore. Because you can't, $5,000 isn't competing with $18,000. So you don't need to claim them. Unless it's going to move you above that $18,000, there's no room for you to file the stuff we used to file. The second most significant thing that they did is they eliminated the whole entire category of miscellaneous expenses. Miscellaneous expenses cover, you could write off what you paid to get your taxes prepared the previous year. You could write off your gambling expenses. You could write off miscellaneous work expenses like your union dues and uniforms and money you spend going back and forth traveling, your vehicle to work, and classes you take for work. You could write off transportation and travel in your daily work. You could write off business expenses. It's all gone.
So is it gone as in gone, or is it gone as in who moved my cheese?
It's gone. There's no form to fill out anymore.
So they're basically pushing you into that 1099 sector if you can't claim these itemized deductions anymore.
And so as discussed multiple times, even today we discussed that the United States is set up in such a way where they know that we're not making enough money to live on a daily basis. We're just not. The average person making $20 an hour is struggling. $20 an hour used to be a lot of money at some time, but it's not anymore. So these people are doing things at home that generate income. That's where we're going to have to push our tax paperwork into filling out those scheduled fees and claiming those businesses and the expenses from those businesses. They're going to take up the slack from where you weren't able to claim itemized deductions. They're going to take up, they give you the write-offs that you need. You have to be working a business, and people think a business has to be something that has a storefront or a key, but you could be working out of your kitchen.
You can be working on the internet.
I have
you
clients,
be working off of Facebook.
Yeah, I have clients who were in college and they fixed meals for students, and they sold dinners and made $27,000 in that 1 year. So they got to claim that, but they wrote off like $25,000 in expenses because it costs money to make money. And so that's what the Schedule C is for, is to show you where the expense of making that money is, and we'll give you credit for it. So they're, yeah, like you said, they're pushing us away from relying on the standard itemized deductions. And we want y'all to come out the closet with this businesses that y'all doing, with all these entrepreneurs in the house hiding. But I just did my daughter's taxes. She just left my office. And if I'd done her taxes and just claiming her job and her W-2, my daughter owed almost $4,000 between the federal and the state. But claiming the stuff that she does when she walks dogs and babysits and takes care of dogs on her side gave her the liberty to claim the expense along with that, which is cleaning her carpets, the dog treats, the toys, all the stuff she buys, the transportation back and forth. Now she claims the expenses and she doesn't owe, and she's getting a refund. You were just a witness to that. It went from owing thousands of dollars to getting back thousands, just by claiming what you do on the side. So I always tell people, if you have a side business, please keep track of your income. Please keep track of your expenses. And, you know, we've been trained to do the, what's that, under the table money. We call it under the table. It's under the table. Yeah, it's under the table. But if the government is giving you an outlet that will benefit you to disclose your under the table money, and we'll give you credit for all this stuff that you do, trying to make that money, why would you hide it from yourself just to give them money, just to pay them taxes? And then we complain about taxes. But I really think taxes aren't set up for business owners. It's not set up for regular W-2 workers. W-2 workers pay the most.
Yeah, and they just spoke on that in a Robert Kiyosaki training, in a wealth building seminar, where they talked about, you know, basically that's what holds the weight for the money system in America, is your signature on your W-2. And how, like, this economic shift is going to create more entrepreneurs and more millionaires ever in history. So what I was going to say is, being a business expert, being someone that's been, you know, a tax preparer, tax consultant for over 25 years, what would you say about the disparity between impoverished mindset and mental illness? Like, because we've had a couple of conversations where you were saying that, you know, it becomes a point where it's beyond the money, because people, they just won't be motivated if they're already thinking off. Like you mentioned, a story you just tell me about a guy that missed out on $60,000 just because he wouldn't take a phone call, and you just kind of basically just went back to like a mindset.
Yeah, this mindset of, I think it's mostly, most of what's holding us back in the mental, I would call it retardation. And retardation in the sense of you don't know, is that we're afraid. We've been taught to be afraid. Black people have been taught, we've been taught, most people, poor people, I'm not even going to say black, poor people have been taught to be afraid of the IRS. We've been taught to be afraid of credit. We've been taught to be afraid of, you know, using other people's money because we don't want to owe nobody. I just want to pay for all my stuff so I don't owe nobody. But the reality is that Chick-fil-A didn't put up all those buildings off of the savings that they've been putting away in the piggy bank. They used somebody else's money to build their empire. So in all businesses, no matter, you're driving down the street, 7-Eleven, they're in debt. All businesses have debt, but there's a difference. There's good debt and bad debt. good debt is the debt that you use to make more money. Bad debt is you just buying stuff and then you owe money. So business debt and consumer debt is two different things, but I think we have just been trained to be afraid, and we let the fear and permeate our minds. I've had clients that have access to $200,000-$300,000, to which it's life-changing. You can start a business, you can build a building somewhere that, pardon me, you could build a business somewhere that you could, you know, establish yourself with $200,000 or start a chain store somewhere. You could do a lot with that, but there are people who are like, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. I'd rather go get me a job part-time, you know, $20 here. And I'm just often amazed at it. So I guess when we come back, you'll ask me, you know, more about the understanding of the psychosis and why we're not moving over into that area.
So Nika's phone is chiming. You already know that we're in the height of the beginning of tax season. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back after these messages. And we're back with our second segment. We're finishing our discussion here today. You know, Nika, she was in the process of getting ready for tax season as we're getting ready to launch this new episode of the podcast. So she was nice enough, you know, to step in and let us know what the updates are as it relates to changes in the 2019. What is the official term for it?
It's tax changes for 2018, the tax year 2018.
Tax changes in 2018, but of course they'll affect your 2019 tax returns.
No,
2018 tax returns.
Yes.
All right.
So we spoke about the change in your itemized deductions versus the standard deduction, the loss of the miscellaneous expenses. That's gone. The child tax credit increases for the next 6 years from $1,000 to $2,000. In order for you, the child has to be under the age of 17, have a social security number, and in order for you to get this credit. Then there's the additional child tax credit of combined. With the child tax credit, you can then receive a refundable credit of up to $1,400 after removing the tax. That's a big one because it doubled before in the past. This is the second or third time they've done that. And then there's a new dependent credit here. And I'm not quite sure why they created this, because I guess because of the way society is, there are more people taking care of people who are not necessarily their children. Like aunts are getting nieces and nephews, and grandmas are taking care of grandchildren, and even grown people are taking care of parents and things like that. So they're trying to make
people with pets that they consider parents.
They're trying to make adjustments and changes to keep up with the tax returns that they've been getting over the years. This particular credit is if you want to claim a non-dependent, meaning someone who is not a qualifying child under the age of 17, you can do so and receive $500 for the credit. The non-dependent must be either a full-time student or disabled. So that's how it rolls over into you caring for your parents, your disabled brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, or someone else's child that is not your child, but they're still in school, which up until the age of 24 or 25, some people stay in school. As long as they're in school, you can claim and get that credit. They've capped, the next thing is they cap the state and local taxes. They call it SALT. SALT, state and local taxes deduction. They capped it at $10,000. Now, I'll tell you honestly, most people don't use a state and local taxes deduction. You can use it to replace the taxes that are taken out of your income on your W-2. Mm-hmm. So you know where you have your line, line 17 is your state income, and then it's what they took out for the state taxes. Mm-hmm. You can now, we've always been able to, instead of having this money coming out of your paycheck, you are able to keep track of the state and local taxes that you pay on a daily basis. We pay tax for gas in our cars. We pay tax on food. We pay tax on everything, right. Cigarettes, everything. And if we were able to take those receipts and just take that little tax and add it up all year. That can substitute for your state taxes coming out of your check, your paycheck. So you can just totally eliminate. No, you're not getting it back. You're eliminating the money coming out of your paycheck every payday. And you don't have to have that happen if you keep track of your state and local taxes. And now they've capped it at $10,000, which is great because many people don't have $10,000 in state taxes coming out. But you can look at it this way. If you buy a car, you buy a brand new car in the state of Maryland, the car is taxed at 6%. So a $50,000, $60,000 car at 6%, you're now looking at thousands of dollars in state taxes that you had to pay when you went to register that car.
So can you explain this, you know, for people that are new to doing the taxes? So if you don't meet that $10,000 for your state and local taxes, nowhere near it, does that mean you can't get any of that money? Or like, let's say within your state and local taxes, you spent $9,000 on state and local taxes. Does that mean you can now claim that money and get that money back?
It's not about getting it back or getting, it's not coming to you in a return. The state and local taxes is deducted from your income.
Okay.
So if you made $20,000 and they took out $9,000 in taxes, that is like I paid the IRS, I paid Maryland $9,000. Now they're going to have to give me back a refund. You're going to get some of it back, but we rarely get back what we put in,
right,
which is why I say don't put it in.
Right.
Don't do it in the first place.
Right.
And then you just pay what you owe. Well, you can pay what you owe at the end versus having to take it out of your paycheck, but nobody wants to do it that way. Everybody can, they only trust if I let them take it, I won't.
They'll leave me alone.
Right. They just, you know, it's fear. It's all fear-based. So
one day we're going to talk about who they really
these
are.
They people, right. So it's just fear-based thinking, and we've been trained that way. But our counterparts understand this stuff. And they look at tax returns and those forms with a fine-tooth comb and figure out where they fit in. And if they see something that could trigger, oh, I do that. My point is, they give you a credit on a scale based upon how much money you made. We think you might have spent this much money. But technically, we're spending all the money. And if you want to get really technical about your state and local taxes, go look on your cell phone bill. Look on your Pepco bill. Look on your Washington Gas bill. Look on your Verizon bill. Look on your Comcast bill. You're paying taxes everywhere, but we're not keeping track of it, and we don't write it down, and we're not realizing that we can get credit for that, and that can be deducted from our income, which will increase our refund.
Wow.
But we don't know, so we don't do it. We just let them take it out of our paycheck. But there's a space for it, and they've increased it. They haven't increased it. There was never a limit to how much state and local taxes you could do. Put a cap on it at $10,000.
So they got smart then.
Yeah, because we're making more money and we're buying bigger toys. I have clients whose cars cost $60,000-$75,000. I have people who buy Audis that, you know, are $90,000-$100,000 cars. State and local tax, 6%, you over $10,000 when you start, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
When you start making large purchases, people are owning boats and RVs and recreational vehicles, and people buy ATVs, all that stuff qualifies as things you can write the taxes off because you have to license it somewhere and they're going to charge you tax to do so.
True. Now, before we went to break, you mentioned, you know, the chart that you have here in the office, you know, the percentiles or disparities between Americans that are W-2 wage earners, those that are on 1099, and those that work in investments. So for people that don't realize, you know, W-2s, that's basically what backs our money system. That's what holds the weight when it comes to money in America, your signature on the W-2. When you're 1099, you work for yourself, self-employed, you do some type of hustle where no one is responsible for your itemized deductions but you. And then investments is where your money makes money. You basically send your money out to work for you, whether it's real estate, the stock market, Forex, whatever the case may be, bonds, whatever the case may be, you're sending your money out to make money for you. So I would think most people would want to be in the 1099 bracket, you know, because everybody is not necessarily a born investor, so to speak, but we can all be, you know, taught and trained to itemize our own deductions using a 1099, right?
So you say 1099, but I don't want to misconstrue that, because the only reason we put it up there as 1099 is because there's no other place, there's no form. So those are forms. The W-2 is a form. 1099 is a form. 1098 is a form. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a code for them to know what you're doing. Okay. 1099, I don't want to say you have to be a 1099, because people will think, I have to have a 1099 miscellaneous, or I have to have a 1099K form in order to fall in that category. Mm-hmm. You don't. Okay. It's just money that you make on your own, mm-hmm. in your own side business, from your home, your kitchen table, your dining room floor, whatever you do it, mm-hmm. it's money that you make. Whether you get a 1099 for it or not, okay. you can claim that as income. So what Erica's trying to explain is the difference between being a W-2 person, receiving a W-2, versus being a W-2 person and that has also a side business, mm-hmm. which we could call 1099, because that's where it goes on the forms. Mm-hmm. A W-2 person, the major difference is when you receive a W-2, your money is taxed before you spend it. You get taxed on your income. The next thing is you get paid, you pay taxes, and then you spend. The difference in a 1099 environment, or a self-employment environment, or a home-based business environment, is you make money, you spend money, and then you're taxed on what's left. That major shift, mm-hmm. not having to pay taxes on what you make, mm-hmm. but now you're paying taxes on what you keep. Mm-hmm. What you keep.
Mm-hmm. What you keep, your net. Your
after net expenses. Mm-hmm. is a big difference in what your tax liability
your
is.
Your net after expenses. That's important. Right. That's a major key right there.
Because currently, the average household that's making, what, $70,000 is paying about 22% in taxes on their money, which is a lot of money. When I did that chart, I did it at 28 to 33% because it was higher. So we reduced the taxes a little bit, but the people are still paying 22%. When you have a business and you're doing 1099 and you're after that, you're taxed at about 12 to 15% on what you keep versus what you earn. So the same person, two people making $50,000, one makes it on the W-2, they're going to be deducted about $12,000 in taxes are going to come out, and they'll be left with like $37,000. Mm-hmm. A person who has the same $50,000 and they have $12,000 to $15,000 in expenses, now that they're down to $37,000 in income after they write off all their expenses, they'll have about $7,000 that they owe in taxes versus 12 for a person who went to work. So it's a big reduction. And to be able to, that's the only place now, since they've removed all the other stuff, that you're going to be able to write off your expenses.
But then here I see that it's due in 16 months. So it's not like it's even due when you file.
All taxes are due. No. What that means is when you're in a 1099 situation, when you don't have someone taking out federal, state, FICA, Social Security, all of this, you get all your cash up front. You don't have to pay taxes until the following April.
Oh, okay.
Which is 16 months. You have 16 months to save if you owe, versus them saving it for you by taking it out of your check. Because the average person, let's see, the last person I did, they got about $17,000 taken out, but they only got $8,000 back. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So-called refund.
Right, but you're not getting all of what you put in.
Right.
And so this person could have easily saved the money, the 11,000, what is it, they owe 9. So they would have paid maybe $12,000 in taxes, mm-hmm. or so.
So for people that are doing like side businesses, but they don't necessarily consider themselves a business because they don't have an LLC or incorporation, or you know, corporation, S corp, whatever the case may be, how would they, you know, go about seeking you out for information, or how could they book an appointment with you to learn more about 1099 and how they can take advantage of these type of deductions?
The easiest way is to go to my website, www.unbreakableenterprises.com, And set up an appointment. See, I have multiple different types of appointments and see which one works best for you. Set up an appointment for us to discuss it. One of the things that I'd like to do on my appointment section is an evaluation for your taxes, where I'll take a look at your previous 3 years to see where you left money on the table. Because it happens a lot when people, someone else does your taxes, they don't understand this stuff. They leave a lot of money on the table and help advise you on what to do for the current year. And if possible, do an amendment for you to get you that money that was left on the table.
Awesome. Let's see, what other changes did we have in 2018 for the year? Home equity interest deduction disappears. So you don't used to take those home equity loans out on your house.
Pull out equity on your house.
Yeah, and the payments that you make when you pay it back, you pay the interest. Mm-hmm. That interest used to be deductible.
Oh, really?
Not anymore. You're still able to deduct mortgage interest, mm-hmm. but not the home equity loan interest. And they've capped mortgage interest. It used to be $1 million. Mm-hmm. They capped it at $750,000.
Wow.
So they reduced that. And I look at it strategically. I like to see when they make changes, like, what are they thinking?
Exactly.
And usually the changes come from the tax returns that have been coming in, and they're right. doing analysis to right. see where people are doing the most, and exactly. to figure out
where the sliding scale is.
Yes. And so I'm thinking, what made them cap? Because,
because everybody started pulling out equity out of them homes around right before the real estate market crashed,
right.
2008, 2009. Yep. Everybody want to be driving Benzes and Cadillac Escalades.
It is about, you could pay off your cars and your home mm-hmm. equity loan, and you could pay mm-hmm. off a whole lot of things that they're like, no, we're
that.
Not giving you any interest, deductions anymore on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, like you said, a lot of people were doing it, mm-hmm. and they're like, we got to back this up. We had to back this up.
Right, because we're not creating a culture of more capitalists. We're creating a culture of more consumers.
Yes, and then there used to be a time when you could deduct all you ex-married people, divorcees, alimony expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that anymore. So all the husbands who were paying alimony to their ex-wives used to be
deduction?
Able to. Yeah, you could deduct alimony. No more. And you know what? I always wondered, why can't we deduct alimony, but we can't deduct child support payments?
Exactly.
That's a whole nother segment.
Exactly.
We won't get into that. But yeah, you used to deduct the payments that you paid in alimony, but now they cut that out as well. And I think that's the most of the things that have happened that are going to affect our taxes. It's not a lot of things, but they were significant enough to notice. I did notice that refunds are just a tad bit higher, in comparison to people's refunds to the previous year, getting, maybe $500, $600 more than they got last year, but it's around the same amount.
So it hasn't really drastically changed how much you can really get back?
Not that I can see, unless you have qualifying dependents. That helped, that extra $1,000 does help. But I haven't seen that. Those are the most significant. It hasn't been a big hike. Most people are like, my clients are like, didn't I get more than that last year? Like, no, let's look at it. It's
right.
not that much more.
So you can't. So I think, in all fairness, with, painting the right picture of the current administration, we may not agree with their politics, but it doesn't look like, they tried to take the whole country on the ride when it came to redrafting the taxes.
Right.
So that's a good thing. And the other thing, we do talk about digital culture, so many different topics, trending social media highlights, trending social news. But coming out of 2018, going into 2019, our focus for the first quarter, for the first 3 months of the year, is really to put the money information out there. We all have different businesses going on. We are entrepreneurs in some way, shape, or form, or either interested in entrepreneurship. So we just wanted to put the meat and bones out first, what's really needed. Go and do with it what you will. We have so much art to curate and artists and things like that. Nika, she has several business walks of life that she comes from. She's just an expert when it comes to business, developing business, forming businesses, and funding business, getting money for your business, getting money for yourself, credit, boosting your credit. So that's why I call her the money expert. But Nika, when it comes down to it, she's somebody that's well-ranked when it comes to business consulting, and doing things within the creative and nonprofit realms as well. So we'll be able to touch on those things in future episodes for those of you that's wondering if all we talk about is money. It's not all we talk about, it's just what we still happen, you know, to feel like you would benefit the most from right now. So,
well, the temperature is such right now that people are really worried about being out of work for 3 weeks, 4 weeks with no pay. It's the temperature is that we need to know what our options are. And then they just let loose everybody with a W-2 a couple of days ago.
Exactly.
And they don't know, you know, what's the best thing or how should I attack this or what change and how is it going to affect me. So, and we always have to be concerned about money. So I would think we should talk about money
all the time. Yeah, I actually had a lady that reached out to me, a guest that I was interested in talking to. And she reached out. She was like, well, is it just a money blog? And that's not, you know, I had to let her know. Like, we talk about other things, you know, there's a couple of sound bites up there, but it was mainly hip hop, you know.
Right.
Hip hop. And, you know, she was cool with that, but it just seemed like, you know, she thought she was coming across like, you know, it might be too stuffy for her taste. But I then did some further digging and found out that she has a blog of her own. So,
yeah,
shout out to her.
And like I said in my blog, it's the most touching. I mean, we could talk about death. Mm-hmm. We could talk about people getting shot right in front of us, you know, mm-hmm. when we were growing up. We could talk about all kinds of things. But when you start saying money, mm-hmm. everybody gets silent, clammed up. Nobody wants to talk about how much they have, how much they spend. So it's a very...
what they're spending on, what they're investing in.
Yeah, it's a very touchy subject. So it's not it's not going to appeal to everyone, even though every single one of us has to use it.
Yeah, from
to live.
Yeah,
but we all have to use it to survive, and there's a benefit. And you know, the great thing about this blog is it's recorded. Mm-hmm. When you're ready, mm-hmm. you can come back and listen to
it.
You don't have to be ready.
I mean, you may not need, and that's a good thing about, you know, being in the information age. It's going to come up. If what I've learned about the energy field and the psychic energy fields and the energy, if it comes in your energy field, it may not be abused. You know, it might not get your, it may not take precedence over everything else that's going on immediately, but if it comes into your energy field, it's going to come back up.
Yeah.
And it may not be a priority now, but when it does come back up, it is going to be a priority. So you may not need the information now, but you know, when it does come back up, you will need it.
Yes.
You know,
it's good to have it there.
Yeah.
So as always, we will work to keep you abreast of what is new and what's going on in the money world. And my thing is, I'm trying to empower people to use their money wisely, to make more money, to figure out all of these benefits that are going to the big businesses and corporations, because in my opinion, there's really no benefit in participating in the world as a human.
Exactly. And I just feel like we're living in such an amazing time to be an entrepreneur, infopreneur, a techpreneur. You know, why not a mompreneur? Why not bring these communities together? You know, tell the story of amazing entrepreneurs and their personal stories of success and their journeys of overcoming obstacles and overcoming odds. Because what I found in researching the greats is everybody, you think, oh, this person became an overnight success, or this person had it easy, it must be so easy to be them. But everybody, before they hit it big, they went through something that almost put them out of the game, like that almost put them out. Everything, each story is more inspiring than the next, you know? So I feel like there's so many everyday people out here with those type of stories of winning, and that's how we can keep each other encouraged, inspired, and motivated.
That's right. And I was just thinking, Erica, you know, we should consider that people all learn in different capacities in different ways.
Yeah.
And that we might want to do this in person.
Yeah.
So if you guys think that you would come to something where we were actually hosting to tell you, give you this information live, because some people need to see it. Some people need the whiteboards and the numbers on the wall so they can visualize it. And they need to, you know, be there. Some people need worksheets and questions to solve and problems to help them think it through. So I think we should, you know, we want to hear from you as to if that's something that you would be willing to attend, to participate in, to get better, a better understanding of, you know, how money works and how to better benefit yourself in using it.
And that's the best way to bring a community together.
Together, too.
You know, events bring communities together. And this is how that, You know, you put yourself in the network of those people that you want to be around and think like you, you know. Because what I found is either the people in your network, the people within your network, and the people that are on the same path as you is where you're going to find your team. You know, and everybody else, they're just, you know, either adding to your energy or taking away
from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so we'd like to hear from you guys if that's something you'd be interested in the comment section. And say, hey, I'd love to come to an event, and we will definitely put together one if people are interested.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome idea. You can follow us on Instagram at the.digital.digest. You DM us, just drop us a line, say, hey, that sounds awesome. I'd love to come to an event. 9 times out of 10, it'll be in the DC metro area, but, you know, we're open to traveling. Or, you know, you can leave a message on the page on one of our posts. But yeah, this is a question that we're going to be asking more and more to, you know, get a true response and see if this is something that the community can do to grow together.
I like the music.
Thanks. All right. Well, that's all our time. So next time, thank you for joining this edition of the Digital Digest. I'm your girl, Ace.
And I'm Mika Bray.
And Mika is joining us as a co-host. She's already done excellent work and within the community, in the small business community, here in the DC local area, as well as around the country. And I'm so excited to be partnering up with her. I've talked to Mika about doing different podcasts and streaming, and finally our schedules sync up so that we can make something happen. So we're super excited to go on this journey and to invite you on the journey with us. Any closing details? Any closing out?
No, just look for me on Facebook as Mika Mrs. Unbreakable Prey, or Instagram Mrs. Unbreakable number one. That's Mrs. with MRS. And I'm on Twitter at Mrs. Unbreakable one as well.
Awesome. And Mika, of course, she is our resident expert when it comes to money, business, tax preparation, forming a new business, whatever your questions are regarding money, boosting your credit, business. Mika is definitely the person that you want to seek out first. I met Mika years ago on one of the first social media sites that I really got into like that after MySpace, which was Facebook. And that was, what, 2008, 2009? And when I say I found gold, I found gold on social media.
Which we can do. Yes, I did too. Because, you know, I love you, Erica, because you always boost everyone else up. But we have to say that Erica is like the bomb when it comes to marketing and putting people's businesses out there and getting people, you know, noticed, which she doesn't talk about much. But we're going to put some commercials in here or something on Ace and what she does for small businesses. And she and I have decided to put together some things that will be very affordable for small business people who we're talking to right now, for people who are working from home. You can't afford a whole lot. And we're just trying to make it so that we can give you the same services that the big companies pay thousands of dollars for.
Absolutely.
And make it affordable to you.
Absolutely.
So just look out for, you know, Ace and all her magic that she does to boost your business. So she don't talk about herself.
I don't. It's so weird for me to talk about myself because I feel like so many salespeople, they're like me anyway,
right.
You know. So I feel like I'm constantly doing that on social media, the way I like to brag about certain information and stuff. So now I've reserved that for, you know, a different time. But thank you so much for joining the podcast. And we thanking you guys for, you know, extending the opportunity for us to, you know, fill your heart and mind with, you know, our ambitions and information to help you get going in the right direction. We can only get better from here. We can only go up from here. Direct all questions to, I don't have the email address in front of me right now, so you can direct all questions to our Instagram page at thedigital.digest.com. And if you want, at thedigital.digest on Instagram. And if you're looking to book an appointment with Mika, then you can go to Mrs. Unbreakable
One. The number one.
Or you can
go to my website, www.unbreakableenterprises.com.
All right. So thank you so much for joining, and we'll catch you next time on the Digital Digest. Peace.